Well, good morning again to you. It's good to see all of you out with us this morning. As for those who weren't here last week, we made mention that we're starting about 15 lesson series on the hymn we just sang. And so it'll be every other week. So this will be the first week, technically. Last week was just an introduction. This will be the first week. Next week we won't do one, then the week after we will. And we'll rotate like that. Otherwise we'd be singing that hymn every Sunday morning for the next 15 weeks, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it might get a little through the motions for us. So maybe every other week will be a little better. This morning though, we're finally actually talking about I Am the Way. Last week we looked at the hymn as a whole. This week we're looking at the phrase that he uses, I am the way, and that comes from John chapter 14, where Marvin read for us last week. So it was something a little different this morning. And what we're going to do is we're going to notice how he is the way in four different aspects of it. So let's get in and get started with it. Using John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, we understand that Jesus is the way to the Father. In verse 6 of chapter 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have access to the Father by Jesus. He is the path, the direction, the road that leads to the Father. You don't find another way to the Father. You can't find a different way to Him without coming through the Son. Without coming through Jesus of Nazareth, there is not access to God the Father. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Hebrew writer says, consequently, he is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. How do we draw near to God? Why would we draw near to God? Why would we want to draw near to God the Father? When we consider who he is, and what he's done, and what he gives us, then we understand why we want to be with Him. He's the Creator of all. We want answers on how this world came to be. We turn to the Creator. We want to know that we are loved and secured and taken care of. We go to the One who gives that care and compassion, that being God the Father. We want to have a home in eternity with who? With God the Father. You know, we make these statements. We look at this in Scripture. And we understand that all good blessings come from God. So we want to be with God. We want to be in association with God. We want to have a relationship with God. But folks, we only do that through Christ, through the Son, through Jesus of Nazareth. It's not like some of the roads in this county where you can take several different routes and get to the same place. You know, I can remember the first year that I lived here, and we had dinner at Ponderosa. Johnny Felker was preaching here that night, that Wednesday night. And the Douthits, and the Petties, and myself, and Johnny ate dinner together. And I left before the Douthits, and y'all know how I drive. And they beat me here. And I couldn't understand that, because again, y'all know how I drive. So I asked Paul, how did he beat me here? He said, oh, you should have turned up Hummingbird and come in Jones Creek the back way. There's multiple routes that can get you there a little faster, right? That's not how it is with this. There isn't multiple avenues, multiple routes you can take to end up at the same location. There's one, that's through the Son. We have access to God only through the Son. Only through Jesus of Nazareth. And even in our prayers, you know, we talk about our prayers, we are praying to God through who? Through the Son, who is making intercession for us, who is taking our case, pleading our behalf to God for us. The Son ever lives to be the avenue, the way that we have access to God the Father. Thereby then, that we have access to all the great blessings that come from God. Thereby then, that we have access to the Creator of the universe, where we have the avenue of prayer, where we have the avenue of thanksgiving, the avenue of praise, all comes through our relationship with the Son to then have a relationship with the Father. But that's the easy one. And that's the one you were all expecting this morning. Let's also notice that He's the way out of darkness, though. And you could substitute the word darkness here for sin. The book of Romans deals a great bit of how Christ has freed us from our sin and made us free from the law. But hopefully you've been paying attention on Sunday mornings in Bible study, so we're going to go with darkness instead. He's the way out of darkness. Over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, in the quoting of Isaiah chapter 9, in the prophecy of who the Messiah would be, says, "There were a people who dwelt in darkness, and they have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region of shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." We'll repeat this a little bit when we get to our lesson on I am the light. But I want you to notice, how does an individual come out of darkness today? You know, if we consider ourselves, and if we consider how do we get out of darkness today, you turn on a light, right? Or if you're outside in the darkness, you go to where there is light, right? How did the people who dwelled in the region of shadow and death, how did the people who dwelled in darkness come out of it? Only by way of the Son. This light dawned upon them, and it had this drawing effect to bring them out of darkness. You know, this phrase is used in another location in Scripture, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul writes, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." Let me tell you, sometimes you can see the word way in Scripture without the word way ever being printed. See, transferred? Has to be a way in which something's transferred. It just doesn't magically poof one place, poof another. There's a path that has to be done. You transfer a file, you've got to do it in a certain way. You transfer rooms in your house, you have to move. The idea of being transferred is a way. And it's out of darkness and into the kingdom of His beloved Son. So what is the domain of darkness then? If the opposite is the kingdom of His beloved Son, what is the domain of darkness? The land of sin? The land of death? The region of shadow and death? It's the location, the area, in which sin abounds. And who rules in that area? The devil. Satan does. And as the Romans writer would put it, as Paul would put it, we are in the bondage of sin. We've been enslaved to sin. But, by the Lord, have been set free. Made slave of righteousness instead. Jesus of Nazareth is the way we escape the darkness. You know, when we think of darkness logically today, what do we think of? Danger. Coldness. Loneliness. Are those words that we appreciate and celebrate in society? People don't want to be lonely. People don't want to be where it's cold. Why do so many people go south during the winter? There's also the idea of where there is cold, that there is disheartenedness. There's sadness. There's gloom and despair. And there's danger in the dark. You can't see where you're going. You don't know what path you're on. You can't tell what dangers lie ahead. Darkness is a place of despair and danger. But folks, we only escape that with Jesus. We only come out of that with the Son. So He is the way out of darkness. But He is also the way of salvation. Tying right in with that. Because outside of darkness would be the light, the peace, the safety, which we would call salvation. Over in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, the one I couldn't get necessarily last week. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, or by which we must be saved. There's only one name, but there is salvation in. You know, for the longest, I looked at this verse as name, physical name, Jesus' name. Which is probably a very good idea. But I want you to consider something else when you see the word name. Do you ever do something in the name of another? I'll give you an example. Individual passes away. You make a donation in their what? In their name. In their honor. In their memory. Sometimes people do volunteer work in memory of others. But we actually call that in the name of someone else. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. To do something in the name of Jesus, under the name of Jesus, is to do something in the way of Jesus. In the manner in which He described. In the manner in which He gave and died for. We only have salvation through Jesus of Nazareth. No one else who's ever lived or ever will live is able to save us from our sins. Save Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary. In Romans chapter 5 verse 2, Paul says, through Him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By Him, in the way of, in the manner of, because of Him, we have obtained access. Access to what? The grace. The grace that is the gift of God. By Jesus, we have the ability to be saved from our sins. To be freed from all that we once were. He is the way to eternal life with this. That's not my fourth point. But being the way of salvation means He's the way to eternal life. Where there is peace, where there is rest. What does He say? Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is the way to peace and joy and life everlasting. But what I want to spend the rest of our time on this morning is maybe to me the more important part of this. And I'm not discounting any of what I've said so far. But we need to understand that the way is more than just a path. It is a lifestyle. I made that point last week. And so He is the way to live. Bob read for us one place. I want to look at three real quick before we get into this. Three occasions in which the Christian life is referred to as the way. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, when Saul of Tarsus is persecuting the church, it says, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if any he found belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 19, verses 8 and 9, Paul is entering the synagogue, and he says, as he entered the synagogue, he for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning, persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. And then where Bob read for us in Acts chapter 22, verses 4 through 7, this is as he's at Jerusalem and is giving a defense of who he is and what he's done. He says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and bringing them or delivering them to prison, both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem and be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Here's the point I want to make. You can make it from Acts 9 or you can make it from Acts 22, either place. Who does Paul say he persecutes? I want it from chapter 22 because I want it coming from Paul's mouth. Who does Paul say he's persecuting? The way. The individuals who belong to the way. Who does Jesus say he's persecuting? Me. Jesus. What I want to submit to you is that followers of Jesus have a particular lifestyle that is defined at this time as being the way. We all know Acts chapter 11, what is it, verse 26. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Do you know that chapter 19 comes after chapter 11? Do you know that in chapter 19 they're still being referred to in some places as the way? You know, sometimes we think of this idea of the way as a precursor to being called Christians. In chapter 19, there's still individuals calling it the way, and even Paul's calling it the way in chapter 19. But in chapter 22, he says, I went about persecuting the way, and Jesus says, you're persecuting me. That's because these individuals are living the way of Christ. It's a lifestyle. It is more than just a road you pick to drive down. It is more than just a routine you have one day. This way, this path is for life. And that requires it to be a lifestyle. And the best place I know to go to define the lifestyle is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, it's going to be on the screen, but I'll invite you to be turning there as well to have it open for yourself. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through the flesh, His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together, as the habit is of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want you to go back for a minute. Hebrew writer says, because we have this new and living way. Do you think the Hebrew writer is saying we have a new avenue? Possible. Hebrew writer does a lot of parallels to the Old Testament. But I think Because it says we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Who could enter the holy place under the old law? Only the priests at certain times, right? And the Hebrew writer says, now we have confidence to enter the holy places. It's because we live a new lifestyle that's been made by God. In which, as Peter would put it, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We've been made a priesthood. We've been made all these new things. Oh, and by the way there, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter also says that he's brought us out of darkness and into light. Away, a transfer. But there's a new and living way. And that is defined through here. Part of that is we draw near to the Lord. We draw near to God. What is this new lifestyle? What is this new path that I'm on? Part of it involves me drawing near to God. How do I draw near to Him? Well, if you look to the very beginning, through the Son, through the avenue of prayer, through service, through devotion to God. Alright, so I draw near to God with a heart and full assurance of faith. So I have a faith that is working, a faith that is believing, a faith that is growing. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. So I'm not having that evil conscience any longer because it's been cleaned. I now am living with a pure conscience, a clean conscience. We've talked about that in our Romans class the last couple Sundays. Having strong conviction. And our bodies washed with pure water. We hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We stand firm, we stand strong, we continue persevering. We don't come in half-hearted. We come in with all that we have and all that we can. Because He who promised is faithful. I don't have to worry about whether or not what God has promised me will come true. Because God is faithful. What He has told me, He will do. And so my faith does not waver, or should not waver. My hope, my standing firm and fast should be my priority because of what God has given me. And we consider how to stir up one another. I want you to notice it's more than just you encourage each other. It's you consider how to do it. That means your brethren should be on the forefront of your mind. That you're caring for your brethren. That you're doing what you can for them. That you're considering them and considering how to encourage them. Sometimes we say, I don't know how to encourage. You know, what do you say to encourage? Well, first of all, we need to be regularly considering them. Because sometimes the reason why we can't encourage is because we haven't been considering them. We have to be mindful of one another. And we are to encourage or stir up one another to love and good works. Here's the hidden part of that. If I'm stirring you up to love and good works, you're supposed to be stirring me up to love and good works, which means I'm supposed to be doing love and good works. I'm to be showing love, my brethren. Love for the Lord, love for the lost. And I'm supposed to be doing these good works. And I'm supposed to be meeting together with one another. Why? Because that's where we're doing our good works and we're loving one another and we're stirring up one another. And so I need to be taking my opportunities to be together. and not neglecting them, and encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Being part of the way, understanding that Jesus is the way, is a lifestyle. And let me go back for just a moment. You tell me what on here Jesus didn't exemplify in his life. Did he draw near to the Lord? Did he draw near to God? Yes. Did he have a pure conscience? Yes. Did he stand firm in his faith? Did he stand firm in his conviction even in the face of trouble? You look in the garden. Most assuredly he did. Did he consider how to stir up the disciples? Did he love them? Did he do good works? Did he spend time with them? Did he take opportunities to teach them? To be with them? To be with the lost? Did he encourage them? And so again, I submit to you, I think this is how we see how you live the way. Because everything the Hebrew writer discusses here are what Jesus did in his life. I am the way. The way that leads to life everlasting. But it's a lifestyle. It's more than just hopping on a road and taking it where it goes. It is a lifestyle in which we should live. But we have the assurance, just as the Hebrew writer says, of knowing that he who promised is faithful. All the blessings that have been promised to us, all the benefits that await, the eternal life, the beauty of heaven, all of that has been promised by God to those who would follow the way that leads to the Father out of darkness of salvation and the way in which we live. This morning, would you not choose to be part of that way? Would you not choose to follow after the Lord? And this morning, as you consider yourself, I hope you know that God loves you and wants you to be right with Him. And so this morning, if you're not, return to the way this morning and get back on the path that leads to everlasting life. This morning, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the psalm that's been selected.